So the date is sometime around 1965. Basically, every December since 1965, on many, many television screens across North America, between scenes of the Grinch slithering around Whoville, George Bailey looking for a wonderful life, and Rudolph not really playing any reindeer games, we see Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown is on a mission to discover something. He is looking for the answer to the question that he asks every year. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? And he goes from person to person asking and asking and searching and looking and trying to discover the answer. And it isn't until Linus retells the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2 that he finds out. How many of you have seen that particular Christmas special? Well, today we're looking at discovering Christmas. And at the heart of Christianity is the invitation to come and to see if what the Bible says is really true. God is an inviting God, and He wants each one of us to pursue Him. And it's my prayer that we'll get past all of that Christmas clutter, all of the season of chaos, and discover what really happened some 2,000 years ago, when the babe in Bethlehem burst onto the scene and became the Savior of the world. It's my hope that we will see the Nativity in a fresh way this season. Now, I want to spend some time looking at Luke chapter 2 this morning, so let's set the scene. In this angelic intervention takes place when God rocks the routine of some guys who are just out there doing their job. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Now, shepherding was once considered a noble profession, but by the first century, it had lost a lot of its luster. They had been around those sheep far too long. They started to smell like the sheep. Some of them started to look like the sheep. Sheep are not the cuddly, white, fluffy thing. They are quite ugly animals, actually, with their matted wool and grossness. But the shepherds, they make up the lowest class of people, coming just ahead of lepers in the first century. Living out in the fields, away from society, made them outcasts. The only time they ever came into town was to sell the sheep. And most of them had foul mouths and were ready to fight at the drop of a hat. Some of them may have been hockey players had they had hockey, but no. They were these types of people. And on this night, except for an occasional bleep from the sheep, the night was quiet. In the midst of the mundane, an angel of the Lord suddenly shows up. And verse 9 says, "An angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Into the darkness of this silent night came the brightest glory of the Lord. And I'm sure that the shepherds were sitting there rubbing their eyes, and they're shaking in their sandals going, "What in the world is that?" In fact, they were terrified. And it's totally understandable because the angels often announce judgment. But this time they had a message of joy. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Once again, when it comes to angels, just about every time they show up, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." They're angels, but they spend most of their time with God. And they radiate His glory. And even just a glimpse of that glory, they become terrified. And they're afraid. But the angel says, "Do not be afraid." The reason they didn't need to be afraid is because the angels were bringing good news of great joy that will be for all people. "For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Now the phrase good news that we use all the time, we are to share the good news. It's where we get the word evangelize from. I want you to notice that this is good news of great joy. This is actually the Greek word mega. This is mega joy, folks. Mega joy. Not just a little bit of joy, not just great joy, but mega joy. Mega. It's a superlative of the greatest degree. You can't get any bigger. This is amazing. And this message is for all people, but it's for you. Did you notice that individual call? A great joy for all people. But this will be a sign to you. It's personal. It's deeply personal. And as the shepherds are trying to handle the message from this one messenger, they're taken aback again. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appear with the angel, praising God. So there was one angel, and suddenly they multiply, and there's a whole host of them. Come expectantly or unexpectedly, and I imagine the sky is filled with this multitude of angels. And by the way, while the angels do sing in other places in Scripture, this time the Scriptures tell us very clearly that they speak. They say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." So in order to discover Christmas, we need to allow the shepherds to show us a few things. And the first thing we need to see is that until you go, you will never know. See, after witnessing this incredible display of unbridled adoration and praise, the shepherds knew they had to move. And verse 15 says, "When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" They discussed what they should do, and they were unanimous in their decision, and they headed to Bethlehem. And in that instant, their feet were placed with faith. And their faith went straight to their feet, and they started walking. And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and a baby who was lying in a manger. You see, there was absolutely no delay in what they heard. They heard and they immediately sped off to go see what the angels had spoke of. They didn't wait 2 or 3 days or a week or, "Yeah, okay, that's awesome, I'll get around to it." They got up and they went. And the Almighty invites us to come to Him. And I love the fact that we don't have to pay for what God wants to give to us. We couldn't afford it anyways. But our responsibility is to come. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, "Come to me, all who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live." And so when we're tired, when we're heavy-hearted, Jesus makes the invitation out of Matthew 11. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus' invitation is to come. Come to Him. And next we read what happens as a result of their going. In Luke chapter 2, verse 20, we read that all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Just think of what would have happened had the shepherds delayed a few days. Or if they had discussed what they had seen that night and then decided, "Well, I'm free on Tuesday. How about you?" I don't know where you are, but there's a point in which you will never know until you actually go. Till you actually go to Jesus. You will never know. The offer is to come. Have you done so? Don't hold back. Don't stay distant. Instead, it's time to discover. Until you know, you will never show. See, too many try to act like Christians, but the fact of the matter is, until you know Christ, you can't do Christianity. You can't do the Christian life. Because once you know, it will show in the way you sow the seeds of the gospel. It's remarkable that the shepherds don't pull up a bale of straw and sit down and take up residence with them in the cave. You ever notice that? They don't sit there and get comfortable. They didn't even hang around. They came and they saw that things were just the way the angels told them. I'm sure they stayed for a little bit. Who can't stay away from a little brand new baby boy? Huh? Am I right? How can you not stay there for a little bit? But they didn't hang around the manger because they knew that they were now the managers of the message. We've been given this. And the message they shared had nothing to do with the amazing angels. Did you notice that? The message that they shared had nothing to do with adoring Mary and Joseph. The message that they shared, that they told with everyone, was about Jesus. They came to see him, and now they head out to herald the good news. In verse 17 it says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Is it possible that we, in today's day and age, have heard this story so many times that we're tired of it? We're no longer amazed at what we hear and what we see? Folks, we begin the season of Advent today and we celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior. We're here today because they couldn't keep quiet. So I want to encourage you to spread the word about the service next Sunday, because we're going to tackle a topic of doubt. And so many people doubt this whole thing at Christmas, right? We're going to talk about doubt next week. But once you know about Jesus, it will show. See, there was this man named Bill. Bill was a college student. He had really, you know, that hairdo, kind of like my son Silas's, just bigger. You know, that curly, unruly hair that no matter what you do, it's just crazy. And he wore this t-shirt, and it's got some holes in it. A pair of old jeans. He wore shoes, didn't even have socks on. He'd just become a Christian, and located really close to the campus that he was on was this really well-to-do church that wanted to develop a ministry to students, but didn't exactly know how to do it. And so this one day, Bill decided to go to church there. He didn't know what time the church started, so he walked in late. Unfortunately, there was no seats anywhere near the back. That's where all the college students want to sit, right? Near the back. Well, maybe not here, but they, you know. And so he starts walking down the center aisle, and people don't move. People see him, but they don't move. And so he keeps walking forward, further and further down that center aisle. He became a little bit uncomfortable because there are no seats anywhere. Finally, Bill got all the way up to the front, and even the front row had been marked off for members of the choir. So he couldn't even sit there. So he did what any college student would do at any college gathering, is he sat down on the floor at the very front. There's no other room, right? That's a good place to sit. Well, you could hear the murmurs starting. You could just hear the congregation becoming visibly uptight, tension filling the air. And then people noticed an elderly deacon in his 80s, slowly walking down the center aisle, the cane tapping on the floor. Tap, tap, tap. And you could hear the murmurs changing a little bit from, what is he doing, to, I'm glad somebody's going to tell him he can't sit there. And it took a little bit of time for the deacon to reach the young man. And then the church became utterly silent. as the deacon dropped his cane, knelt down next to him and said, "May I sit with you?" And in his 80-year-old bones, settled into the spot on the floor next to him. See, I see two very incredible truths in this story. The first is that we know, when we know, it's going to show. Jesus calls us to reach out to people, and that's exactly what this deacon did. And the second is that, similar to what God did when he sent his son, Jesus entered our world and wants to sit down with us and to build a relationship with us. It's never going to happen if we're sitting in our seats murmuring at the kids sitting at the front. It's never going to happen if we're the ones who are going, "Man, somebody tell that kid he can't go there." It only will happen if we're willing to come and sit with them. Until you show, you're never going to glow. See, with hearts filled with gratitude, these men break out into praise. In verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all of the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. They don't just wonder about what they had seen. They worship him. And when they see him, what they saw, it was just filled. There was so much praise there. They couldn't help it. They had to go and tell people. These rough shepherds go back to their jobs, but now they do it with praise on their lips, with a renewed desire to give glory to God. In Psalm 34, verse 5, it says, "Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame." Think about these shepherds and who they were before. The outcasts in society, the ones who had the foul mouths, the ones who smelled like sheep, the ones who looked like sheep, the one that nobody wanted to be with. And now they are filled with radiant glow on their faces. They're praising God. There's no shame in them anymore. After all, these were the very shepherds who kept the flocks for the lambs that were to be sacrificed at the temple. That means when we give glory to God, and we praise him with our lives, our faces should be radiant. Our faces should be filled with the grace of God. And when we show, we will glow. Have you ever noticed that Jesus, he's hard to ignore, but he's really easy to miss? You ever notice that? Let me tell you another story. On January 12th, 2007, at 7:51 a.m., in the Metro subway station in Washington, D.C., a young man positioned himself up against a wall right beside a trash basket. By most measures, he was nondescript. A white male in jeans, long-sleeved t-shirt, baseball cap. From a small case, he removed a violin and he placed the open case at his feet. Then he reached in his pocket, pulled out a few bucks of seed money, and threw it in there. He swiveled to face the pedestrian traffic and he began to play. And for the next 45 minutes, this violinist performed six incredibly intricate, detailed, classical pieces of music. And during that time, 1,097 people passed by. Nobody knew that this violinist was a guy named Joshua Bell, one of the world's leading classical musicians who fills concert halls. And on this Friday morning, Bell played on a Stradivarius. That Stradivarius was worth $3.5 million. And the train station was his stage, and his beautiful music filled the air. And over the time that he played, there were 7 people who stopped to listen for at least 1 minute. 27 people reached in their pocket, threw a little bit of change in his case. A few days before this, He had played the concert hall where people paid, on average, $100 a seat to hear him play for 1 hour. This day, he received a grand total of $32.17. At the end of each piece, there was no applause, just silent indifference in the hustle bustle of people going to work. The master musician was completely ignored. People walked past musical glory without giving a second glance, with the exception of two people. Two people stopped. The first was a postal worker named John, who had learned the violin as a youth. And he recognized the quality of Joshua Bell's performance, and he stood enjoying it from a distance. And then there was Stacy. Stacy was actually at the concert a few days earlier, and she recognized Joshua Bell. And she wasn't about to miss it. And later she told a reporter this: "It was the most astonishing thing I've ever seen in Washington. Joshua Bell was standing there playing in rush hour, and people were not even stopping. They weren't even looking. And some were flipping quarters at him. Quarters. And I was thinking, what kind of a city do I live in that this could happen?" She recognized Joshua Bell. She recognized the brilliance of that man. In another place, in another time, the night was filled with a heavenly music and a bright light. The earth has never seen such glory. And angels brought word of the majestic one, of the Savior, the chosen one, the long-awaited one. The Lord has arrived. The good news of great joy for all people. And where would the workers find this glorious one? In the palace, right? A temple? Perhaps a concert hall? No. An angel gave the astonishing news: you will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Lying in a manger. When I was in Israel last year, I saw these mangers. They're not the nice crafted wooden ones. They're a hunk of stone about this tall, about this wide, with a divot in it. It's a piece of rock where they take some straw or some hay or whatever they've got and they place it in there. On a cold, hard rock, wrapped in cloths, hopefully some straw buffering between the two, is where you will find the Messiah, the chosen one, the Lord God Almighty. Who would expect to find a heavenly king in such a setting? Usually he had lived among the angels, and now he's among the cattle. What a surprising place to find God. The one who made the universe placed himself in the inexperienced hands of a teenage mother, in the rough hands of a carpenter. It was God among the ordinary. And most people ignored him and went about their business. Only some shepherds who were let in on the secret of his identity stopped to acknowledge him and enter into the joy of his presence in their world. One of the puzzles of Christmas is why God did it that way. Why not make the angel... Why not take that angelic sound and light show of all time? Make it a global event. Well, God came as a baby in a manger for at least two reasons. The first reason is this: because God wants to be accessible to all people, especially to the least and the lowest of all. Like a violinist playing in a train station, God made himself available to the masses so that we all can enjoy the beauty of his gift. The second reason for God coming as he did is that He does not impose Himself upon people. Rather, He invites us to enter into relationship with Him. See, the shepherds, they heard the angel's message, and they decided to seek it out. They sought the Christ, and they found Him. And God invites us to seek Him too. Finding the virtuoso in the subway, John and Stacy, they rejoiced. Finding Jesus in the manger, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things that they had heard and seen that were just as they had been told. See, the shepherds, they were close to Christmas, but still need to make that journey to Jesus. You may be close yourself, but you've not yet made that discovery. And that discovery will change your life. The shepherd left their sheep behind so they could look for the Lamb of God. It will cost you something to discover Christ, but don't be afraid to pay the price. To know Christ will cost you more than what you spend on presents. It will cost you your very life. A life that will be transformed into something new, into a brand new creation in Him. And like the shepherds, you don't need to have much. You don't need to know a lot about what's going on. But what matters is whether or not you'll go. For it's in the going that you'll start knowing. See, God's trying to break into your ordinary routine with the message of the good news. He loves you. He sent His Son to be your Savior. Will you continue to ignore Emmanuel, God with us? When will you hurry to the Holy One? He wants to bring you joy in the midst of all the junk that's going on in your life. Will you receive what the Lord has done for you? Will you put your feet to faith? Because Jesus is Messiah. Jesus was born to the whole world. He was born for you. Christmas is real history, but it must become your story. I want to share with you Luke chapter 2, verse 11, where it says, "Today." That means right now. Don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Today, in the town of David, a Savior, as the one who forgives sins, that's Jesus Christ, He has been born to you. To you. He would have been born just for you. It's incredibly personal. It's intimate. It's the way God created it. For He is the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Lord, the Master and God of all. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Until you go, you will never know. And until you know, you will never show any type of growth. And until you grow, you will never glow. If you're ready to receive the gift of Jesus right now, then I ask you to pray with me. If you've already accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, praise God. Let's go and let's tell people about it. Let's be like those shepherds who are filled with joy, who are filled with gratitude, and they glow with Jesus. We want to tell others about it. But if today is the day you choose to become a Christian, to put your life in His hands, pray with me right now. Dear Jesus, I'm in awe of You. Thank You for inviting me to come. I don't understand how You can accept me, because I don't measure up. But I confess that I'm a sinner, and I want to turn from the way I've been living. I need You to be my Savior. So I come to you now. I acknowledge that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I desire to live under your lordship for the rest of my life. Thank you for not only being born, but for dying in my place, for rising again so that I can be born again. I receive your gift of salvation and forgiveness, and I ask you to come live in my life. Make me into the person you want me to be, because I want to show what I know to be true. And I want to grow so that I can glow for you. In the name of Emmanuel, I ask this. Amen.